Chapter number 2. 1 Peter, chapter number 2. Appreciate the songs that was sang, the testimonies being given. Appreciate the Lord, friend. And you got your Bibles. 1 Peter, chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 21. And I'll read through the remainder of the chapter. The Bible says in 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time. And Lord, I'm thankful, God, for another opportunity to share from your blessed book. I pray, I'm thankful for the songs that we've already heard, and God, how they have stirred our heart this morning, and God, towards you. I pray that you would help us today to be, God, made real small, and Father, I pray, might you be made real big. Lord, we come before you with thankful hearts, and thankful, God, that as we celebrate Christmas and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we know you came for one purpose, and God, that was to seek and to save that which is lost. Father, I'm thankful, God, that you did find me, Lord, in my sinful condition. And Lord, I'm glad you didn't leave me that way. I appreciate, Lord, what you've done. I pray, Lord, one more time, help us this side of eternity to preach as a dying man to dying men and women, we pray. In Christ's name and for his sake alone, I do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested, excuse me, in verse number 24. The Bible says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." I've been thinking about that passage of scripture. I thought about what the Bible says over in the book of Acts, chapter number 5. I'll just read this to you and we'll do our best to lay a foundation. The Bible says in Acts, chapter 5, in verse number 29, it says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." Bible said in verse number 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin." I thought about when you come to this passage of scripture, it is peculiar the way the Lord Jesus Christ pens it down in his Bible. Bible says that he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, if I were to ask any one of you what was transpired on Calvary's mountain that day, we would all probably use the same terminology. We would all say the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross. But that's not what it says here. I want you to know that predominantly in the New Testament, every time that somebody is referring to the death of the Lord Jesus, and they call it the cross. And dear friend, it is the emblem of Christianity all around this place. And God forbid that we should glory and save in the cross. But here the Bible says a tree. And now why is that? I believe that every word in your Bible has been inspired and authorized and by the Holy Ghost of God. I believe the King James Bible is the inerrant, infallible, word of the living God. I believe God has preserved it, and just as it is, and that every word has been God-breathed and God-preserved that we might read it today. And so the question is, why would he use the term tree? And friend, you find that only five times, and when they're referring to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ,
And does it call it a tree? And might I say to you this morning, and that it was a tree and that plunged man off into sin, and it was a tree and that rescued men from it. I thought about as we were preparing for the message this morning, and you understand when we talk about Christmas, and that the words Christmas is made up of two words, and Christ and Mass. A Mass meaning a celebration. And so literally when you say Christmas, it is a celebration of Christ. And so when we talk about a Christmas tree, we are celebrating on Christ's tree. Amen. And so with the help of the Lord this morning, I'd like to preach on the real Christmas tree. And the real Christmas tree. And turn with me, my friend, over to the book of Genesis. I want you to take note here that when you come to this passage of Scripture, and the first time you find a tree mentioned in your Bible, it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And dear friend, there are some similarities between these two trees. And first we find that they're both planted in the garden of God. And the Bible says the first one planted in a garden. And then we find in John chapter number 19, and when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the old rugged cross, and the Word of God said, and thereby was a garden. And so I noticed they're both in a garden. And then I noticed they're both in the midst of a garden. And the Word of God says the tree of knowledge and good of evil was in the midst. And then we find the Lord Jesus Christ and being sacrificed and there for our sins on the cross. And we find likewise, thank God, He stood in the midst. I find that both trees were trees and that were good for food. And we find that Eve said, and that was a tree that was good for food and desirous to eat. I'm thankful when we're talking about and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are speaking about a tree and that is still good to eat. I thought the first tree and the second tree are both trees of knowledge of good and evil. And the first tree, my friend, and they had knowledge of good and it brought about knowledge of evil. But when I look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm thankful I see all of the evilness of humanity, all of sin, and focused on one point on this place. But thank God, God gives us the knowledge of how to be born again, and because of that. And so I thought about when you get in this passion, I want you to notice there are some things. Adam and Eve used the first tree and plunged the whole human race off into sin. I want you to understand, and friend, you don't sin because you like sinning. You sin because you're a sinner. Amen. It's in your blood. Ain't nobody got to teach you to do that. I talk with folks and dear God, they'll say, well, can you believe and they did this or they did that? Well, sure I can. Amen. Why? Because I expect sinners to do sinful things. Amen. It doesn't come as any surprise to me. It's in your blood. It's in my blood, in your blood. We were born, dear friend, in the image of our father Adam. And that whole lineage of sinfulness has been passed from one generation to the other. And folks all the time talking about evolution. But I'm telling you, we've been de-evolving ever since the Garden of Eden. A man gets more and more wicked as the days go by. And you come by that naturally. But I'm glad that whatever we find that Satan corrupted in the garden, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ used the Christmas tree and He corrected it on Mount Calvary that day. Notice the Bible says this in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 8. It said, and the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. I find that the first difference between the first tree and the Lord's Christmas tree is, dear God, we find the first tree was planted in the ground by God. I mean, God Himself and took the seed and planted it in the ground. It was a perfect environment. It was a perfect seed. It was a perfect temperature. Everything about it was perfect. I believe that it grew a perfect tree. Amen. And we probably ain't never seen and no fall time in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Evergreens every day. I'm telling you, but friend, and when you look at this passage of Scripture, and God planted the first tree in the ground and man took of it and messed up what God had perfectly made. But then thank God when we look at Christ's tree, it wasn't planted in the ground. crowned by God. In Matthew chapter 27, it said, and there they crucified him. And the first tree was planted by God, but the second tree was planted by man. I want you to listen to me, friend. And they did not know they were bringing about redemption for mankind. And they did not know that that was the greatest gift ever given. And the Bible says, for none of the princes of the world had known it. And for if they had, they would not crucify him. And no, friend, they were not trying to bring about salvation for the world. And they were trying to, and dear God, to crucify a convicted criminal. Amen. And they did it with the best of their ability. I thought, dear God, and when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, and then they dropped that thing in the ground and trying to jar his bones loose. And according to Psalms chapter 22, and the Bible says it did just that. He said, all my joints are out of place. I'm telling you, friend, how the very God had suffered and for the sins of mankind. And now listen, and God planted the first tree and man messed it up. A man planted the second tree, and thank God, God fixed everything that we had ever messed up that day. I'm glad, dear friend, and they might have took it and put it in that ground, and but God said, whatever you can mess up, I can make right. I'm telling you, it wasn't about the curse of the tree, but it was about the curse on the cross, and the Son of God bore that shame, and thank God that we might be born again, and by God's marvelous grace, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ and corrected the first thing. Now I want you to notice what the Bible goes on to say. We notice that it was a planet, and we notice the first one planted by God, second one planted by man. And then notice we find, dear friend, the pleasantness of the first tree. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6, it says, when the woman saw and that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, I begin to think about, and that first tree, when God planted it, and dear friend, it was pleasant to the eyes. Everybody that walked by it, and dear God, the two people in the garden, I should say, and when they passed by, I'm telling you, I don't believe there's ever been a tree that looked quite like that tree. I mean, I believe that its roots were beautiful. I believe the trunk was none like anything we've ever seen. I believe the leaves that were never fade was probably like anything we cannot imagine. But when she saw that tree, and she said, boy, that's pleasant to the eyes. I'm telling you, our eyes have been getting us in trouble ever since we've been alive. And they still do the same thing today. But what we find is the first tree, and boy, it was good to look at. I thought about when we was in Hawaii, there was a tree there and called a banyan tree. And that one single tree covered an entire acre. I'd never seen anything like it. I just stopped and stared, and me and Allison just looked at it, and I walked around it and sat on it and tried to figure out how something could be made in such a manner as that tree. I believe that's probably what they did. But I want you to hear me. 'Tis not so with the Lord Jesus Christ's tree. And they ain't nothing pleasant about the cross of Christ. Hey man, they might be some Da Vinci's in the world, and they might be some Michelangelo's and some painters and some artists that paint this beautiful picture of little bitty trickling blood running down the forehead of our Savior. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that he suffered like no man had ever suffered. And the Word of God says in Psalm 22, and that he could speak to his bones, and for they stared back at him. His flesh had been ripped open, and there was no beauty in that scene, and that men should desire it. And we find a scene, the cross, around the cross as a suffering Savior, and we find a marred man, and we find a bunch of reviling religionists, we find a bunch of taunting thieves. And my friend, what we find though, and that makes the scene so gruesome to some and yet so lovely to others, is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was shed up the hill and shed on the cross and shed out of his own body. And now you might look at that and be discouraged, but I say, praise the Lamb of God. Amen. Even so, wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, dear friend, and the first one was pleasant to look at, but the second one, they wasn't no pleasant. It's fallen out of favor in America today. Amen. I mean, nobody wants to preach about, and the Lord Jesus Jesus Christ and suffering, and they want to have this this effeminate man that they've created in their imagination who was and setting up their friend. I'm telling you, they're going to be sore disappointed. And when the King of Kings come by with eyes as a flame of fire, amen, his feet likened to brass, his voice as the sound of many thunder, he humbled himself to be like that, and so that we might be able to be born again. And but the Word of God goes on to say, I want you to notice we find and that one thing about the first tree is that there was prohibition put upon it. And this is what God said in verse number 17. He said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and thou shalt not eat of it. And now isn't it absolutely amazing? And that the only thing God told man not to do, and man could not keep his fingers off of it, away from it, his mind out of it, his eyes from looking at it, his feet from going to it, his hands from touching it, his mouth from tasting it. I mean, God gave him everything, and God gave him a perfect environment. And you say, preacher, what difference that make? And the one thing that it'll prove over and over in my life and in your life is if you are left to your own devices and you are left to your own choices, you will choose wrong every single time, friend. And dear God, my dad used to say, as young men he'd say, and that there's children running around, and you'll hear parents say, you ought not touch that. And bless God, even if they wasn't thinking about it, they can't get it out of their minds now. Amen. I'm telling you, God has put a prohibition upon that tree. He said, you take whatever you want, have the best of everything you got. I've given you a good wife, I'll give you a good home, I'll give you everything. And but do not touch that tree. And man just could not help it. A man just could not help himself. And dear friend, I'm telling you, choose wrong every time. And but thank God, 'tis not so with the Christmas tree. And God did not say, thou shalt not. And but thank God, God says, amen, whosoever will, let him come. All things are now ready, let him come. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. All that are heavy labor and are heavy laden, and let him come. And the bride and the spirit say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I'm thankful for it. And there might have been a gateway put up around that first tree. But when you begin to look at the real Christmas tree and the celebration of the Christ of cross, amen, God removed all the barriers down. He said, listen, I put this so that you might look and live, and so that you might be redeemed from your sin. I say hallelujah to God and thank God and for the Christmas tree, friend. And then I thought, oh, listen, and whatever God prohibits, Satan tries to promote. Amen. Amen. And somebody ought to say amen right there. And whatever God says don't do, Satan does everything he can. And to say you ought to do just that. And he did the same thing to eat. I want you to notice the promotion of the first tree. And the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle and than any beast which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And notice the Bible teaches us, friend. He says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And the Word of God goes on to say, and for God knows that in the day ye eat thereof, and that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, and knowing good and evil. And so we find God put a prohibition on the first tree, and Satan began to promote it. He said, I'll tell you what, you ever seen a tree quite like that tree? Have you ever seen something quite like that before, Eve? I want you to understand, friend. And we find Satan comes along, and he appeals to the three senses of mankind. He appeals to the lust of their eyes, he appeals to the lust of their flesh, and he appeals to the pride of life. He said, you shall not surely die. And dear friend, he said, you shall be as gods. I want you to look at how lovely this tree is. And Satan's been doing the same three tricks on all of humanity ever since that day. And Satan did everything he could to get man to partake of the first tree, and still standing today, he does everything he can to get man to abstain from the next tree. Isn't it amazing? And then when God said, don't take of that tree and I'll bless you, and Satan comes along and says, boy, don't you want that tree? Amen. And then on this side of the cross, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you'll come to the cross of Calvary, man, believe what I've done, I'll give you life and life eternal. And still yet we find, and that now Satan says, well, you don't really want that, do you? I mean, listen, and Satan is a liar and the father of it. He told Adam and Eve they wouldn't die, and they begin to die, and the reason you die is because they did. Amen. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ said if we'd come to Calvary, we'd live. And Satan says, no, you won't. I'm going to go off God's track record. Every time I ever find Satan saying anything, he's always lying and getting man in trouble, and God's always trying to help us, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to save us. I say thank God and that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on this tree, he lets the invitation be known. He calls all that can. I'm glad that, friend, when we're talking about Calvary, that's the place, amen, where God done what he would. And then I thought about the penalty. Oh, friend, I mean, there was a penalty with that first tree. And the Bible says if you eat it, the very day you eat it, and you're going to die. Amen. Amen. And the day you eat it, you're going to die. And we all dying people. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? And look in the mirror and you find out you start dying all the time. And body's getting ready to go back to the grave. Amen. Ears start to hang low. Cheeks start to hang low. Amen. Arms start to hang low. It is the earth calling us back into itself. I'm telling you, he said, if you take of that, you'll start dying. And dear God, and that's exactly what they did. I'm thankful, dear friend. But there is a penalty if you'll have it that way with the next tree. And dear friend, if you reject what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, and you will die eternally. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ on the second tree, and the first one brought death, and thank God his tree brought life. Amen. But you can refuse life and die and go to hell, friend. I'm telling you, dear friend, and there's folks who say a holy God and a just God would never send man to hell. And whenever you realize, dear friend, and that he corrected everything that was corrupted in the garden and done everything he can to get you out of it, if you reject his darling son, as sure as I'm standing in this place today, and God in a holy righteous way and will send you to hell. And friend, not that he glories in it, but I'm telling you, his holiness is his attribute that's above everything else, and you must have something to bring. And what do you bring? I'm bringing the gift of his darling son, and that's all that I've got. I've said, Lord, I've went to the Christmas tree. I found the unspeakable gift, and I'm going to thank God for it. It's mine and I'm his. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And then I noticed the people associated. Isn't it amazing that there's only two people around the first tree, and they're both thieves? Just stop and let that sink in for a minute. Two people in the garden. God said, that's my tree. Yeah. Don't eat of my tree. And anybody took of his tree, therefore, was a thief. Everybody say, amen. Amen. That's right. There was two thieves at the first tree. And there's two thieves at the second. You think that's by coincidence? You think that it's by chance that two thieves got all of man in trouble with the first tree, and standing on either side of Christ in the midst of the cross, there was two thieves right there. They missed in the garden what God had wanted them to have. And we see the result of it all the way through time. Thieves passed on to thieves, passed on to thieves, all the way up to the cross. Oh, friend, but I'm glad what they were not able to attain at the cross, And the Lord Jesus said, you took from the first tree, you stole, you were a thief, you died, and you've got death coming to all of humanity. He said, but at this tree, I'll freely give. You don't have to steal. And there was a thief, all he had ever done was stole. And but when he came to the cross of Christ, and Miss Chetty didn't have to steal no more. It was offered willingly. You understand, that's what makes Christmas Christmas, is that Jesus came willingly. He suffered willingly. He gave his life willingly. He offers salvation willingly. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God, friend. I thought about the promise. The promise. You know what God had to do? Let's just read it. Got just a moment of time. Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Oh, friend. Everything man messed up at the first tree, what we're celebrating today is Christ's tree. He bare his own self, our sins, and his own body on the tree. Now notice what it says. In Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has come as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to fill the ground from whence he was taken. So the first tree got man kicked out of paradise. God couldn't allow him to be in it no more. So he got kicked out. Paradise. Everybody agree that's what it was? It was paradise. Isn't it absolutely amazing then? If you recall the words of one of those thieves, Bill, when they looked at Jesus and he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom? He said, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, he could have said whatever he wanted. He could have said Abraham's bosom. He could have said you be in my presence. Why then, friend, did he say paradise? He was wanting to let mankind know and that they got kicked out of paradise by one tree. But thank God that wasn't the end, friend. I'm glad the Lord Jesus had another tree as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He had another place in his mind on the cross of Calvary. He said, bless God, whoever come. You might come as a thief. You might have stolen. You might have got kicked out. He said, but look at this thief here. I'm telling you, bless God, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the first tree got man kicked out of paradise, and the second tree got man brought back in. I'm glad I was on the outside, but now I'm on the inside. I was an enemy, but now I'm an ally. I was a sinner, but now, thank God, saved. Saved! Why? Just because of one tree. One tree got me in trouble. Got me condemned to hell. And the Lord said, Satan, you think that's something? I got another tree in my mind. Shh.